Phoebe's name, if you looked it up in a Bible dictionary, means this. It means someone that is bright, someone that is radiant, somebody that is shining. If you study what her name means, Paul, as he writes the 16th chapter in the book of Romans, is writing, and he's writing a chapter of commendation. He is making a recommendation about Phoebe, someone, a believer in a church that he knows that is now going to another church with a specific role in that church. And he says, I want to commend her to you. You know, commendation is a biblical thing. In the scriptures, we find that Paul was a commender of the people that he worked with. And I would like to commend our church tonight on the missions conference this week. We had those who hosted families. We had those who had them for meals, who prepared for the ladies' luncheon, who helped with the children's activity, who prepared welcome wagons and quilts and gave gifts and spent time and worked in the nursery or twos and threes and served in the children's conference and helped in sight and sound and set up the Bible assembly day and did it unto the Lord and prepared the love gifts for the missionaries. And I appreciate Pastor Michael's work behind the scenes and organizing and putting things together. And we find that it is biblical to commend those who have diligently served the Lord. And you as a church have served the Lord. I believe that our missionaries are leaving Mount Zion Baptist Church refreshed. And that's the way they should leave. And that's a large part because of what you have done in serving them. He names a big list in chapter number 16, but he begins this list with a lady by the name of Phoebe. It's not the only passage of Scripture that we find Paul finding that which is positive in someone's life and bringing it out. How about a man by the name of John Mark in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Now remember, there was a time where Paul said, I don't want John Mark to come with us. He's not ready to come with us. And they left John Mark behind, and Paul and Barnabas departed paths over that. And John Mark had left them, I believe, in a very critical part of their ministry. And some would look at Paul and say, Paul, you're so harsh. Why did you do that? But remember, by 2 Timothy chapter 4, later in the New Testament, he says this, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, that's that John Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He realized that John Mark could be used again. In fact, he said, bring him here. It's time for him to be put back on the map and to be used by God. In Philemon chapter 1, he's writing the book to Philemon, and he's writing on behalf of Onesimus. Here's what he says about him, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Remember, Onesimus was a servant or a slave to Philemon, and an unfaithful one at that. But Paul says and writes to Philemon and says, there was a time in which he was unprofitable, but now he is profitable again. Paul had a heart to commend others. He did it in Philippians chapter 2 of Epaphroditus, and he told them that he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and he encouraged the church at Philippi to receive him, therefore, with gladness. The reason Paul had teams is because he knew how to treat them. Brethren, the local church is a team. God puts us together as a body. He weaves us together from all kinds of different backgrounds. When we're looking at the church at Rome, we're looking at a church that is mixed with Jewish Christians. There's a culture there. And Gentile Christians. And there's a different culture there. And God brought them together to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was able to commend them. Missions is teamwork, and we must follow Paul's pattern here for how to treat the team. He lays out and speaks very boldly about a lady by the name of Phoebe in this particular passage. I have two simple points in the message, and I'll be brief tonight. The first thing I want you to see is that he speaks boldly because of her reputation. Because of her reputation. I want you to get this about a reputation. We carry it with us wherever we go. Geography and boundaries geographically do not change a person's reputation. Here's a lady functioning in the church at Caesarea, and she's leaving that church, and she's going to the church at Rome. And Paul's writing to that church and is saying, what she did in Caesarea, what I know about this gal here, is what she will do in Rome, she will be the same person. Her reputation follows her. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1 says this. A good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches. And the Bible goes on and says, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I want to give you three things about Phoebe's reputation tonight. Number one, she was a sister. According to the Scriptures, I commend unto you, in verse number 1, Phoebe, our sister. She was a sister in the Lord. She was not living a life where people were questioning her salvation. She was not living a life as a Christian that people were saying, what in the world are you doing? She was living a life that Paul could say, definitely, clearly, she's a sister in the Lord. You should know that. So I'm sending her to you, but she's a sister in the Lord. On Tuesday, Gina will fly across the ocean, and she'll become part of another body of believers. But the moment she lands in the first service she attends in Zambia, she will find brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the benefit of missions. That's the benefit of the way God set it up. She can be with this body, but she can go over and be with another body of believers. Oh, yes, they have a different culture. Oh, yes, they may do things differently in their everyday life. But the truth of the matter is, they believe in the same Jesus Christ that we do. And that's the unifying truth that she's going to. She will find brothers and sisters over there. Are you worried about a preacher? Well, Africa is a rough place. I was talking to somebody about that before the service. And she's not going over with anybody from Mount Zion Baptist Church. But she's going over to a group of believers. She's a sister, and she's a sister more than just in name only. Her faith showed that she was a sister. This week, you and I have had the opportunity to treat our missionaries as brothers and sisters in Christ. And brethren, there's a way to treat a brother and sister. There's a way that we ought to receive them. There's a way that we ought to minister to them. There's a graciousness that we should show towards them. And I've written Brother Rich, and this week I was writing an email, sending it over to Zambia, and I was just commenting on this particular passage to him and who we're sending over and how I'm praying that they will receive her as a sister in the Lord. I know that we had many people assist the missionaries in different ways this week, whether it was helping with a car, trying to get it fixed, or contacts, giving contacts of other churches to our missionaries like we did. We blessed them financially, and we fed them and took time with them and prayed with them. Why do we do all that? Because they're brethren. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's a godly way to treat them. She was not just a sister. Secondly, according to the text, she was a servant. Now, brethren, there's something we can all learn here, and that is God doesn't put us in the family to be served. God puts us in the family to serve. She didn't become a sister and just get a fire insurance policy from hell. She became a sister in the Lord. At some point, she received Christ, and she realized, you know what? I am a sister. That means I have brothers and sisters in Christ, people that I need to serve. Look at the words of the text in this particular passage in Romans chapter 16. It talks about her being a servant of the church. She was a servant of the church. She was a sister, absolutely, but she was a servant of the church. She took time to serve others. God doesn't expect us to be a Christian and become a Christian and enter the family and receive, receive, receive. He expects us to become a believer and get the heart of Christ, who took upon him in Philippians chapter 2 the form of a what? A servant. A servant. In Romans chapter 6 verse 22, the Bible says, but now being made free from sin, thank God for salvation, here's the normal step, he says to the church at Rome, and become servants to God. Once you're freed from sin, once you realize I've got a Savior, you become, it's natural for a Christian to say, I want to serve God. I want to be a servant of God. She was a servant. That reputation would follow her wherever she went. For Phoebe, service meant that she had a master. I want to give you some things about servant service tonight. Remind all of us of what a servant is. Often when someone comes from another church, I call their pastor and ask questions about them. I do that as a protection for our church, by the way. But I am refreshed when I hear a pastor say something like this. Oh, they were wonderful servants here. Oh, they'll be a blessing to your church. You know what they're saying? They're saying they understand what the Christian life is all about. And so the servant's heart is one that doesn't tell his master what to do. He performs whatever task the master requests of him. That's what a servant does. A servant says, Lord, you dictate to me, and I'll do what you dictate to me. You're the master, I'm the servant. A servant doesn't choose what days or times are most convenient to serve his master. A servant doesn't have those choices to make. He has a master. And so when the master calls on the servant, whether it's Johnny on the spot, whether it's inconvenient, whether it's last minute, the servant says, yes, sir, what do you need done? It's the heart, it's the attitude of a servant. The servant looks at things and realizes that it's not his vision that he's trying to accomplish, but rather it's the master's vision that he's trying to accomplish. Servant leadership is what the Scriptures teach in the Scriptures. All saints, are you listening to me tonight? All Christians, God is calling to servanthood. A servant is others-oriented. And church, when that is your focal point, you will find your spirit to be right. And when that is not your focal point, and it's about you, you will find your spirit to easily go off. But when you realize the position of servant, you will realize that there's an attitude that comes along with it. I don't get excited about sending anybody out from Mount Zion that doesn't have the heart of a servant. Servants, we need more servants in the church. We need to return to the attitude of a servant. I have told our deacons this in meetings recently as we have reviewed the office of the deacon. Usually the real test of a servant is when one is treated as such. And the truth of the matter is, if you're a servant of the Lord, you've been there. You've been where you've been treated as a servant. And sometimes that doesn't feel so good. But it reminds us who we are. As I met with Gina the other day, I thanked her for being a servant while she was home. I told her when she came home I would need her help to get the Sunshine Club off the ground, and she helped. It wasn't just but a few weeks, and we were meeting on visits, and I was following up and making my rounds to shut-ins and widows, and they were saying, I got to see Gina the other day. She was already out serving others. It was in her heart. It didn't change because she came from Africa to America. It was her reputation. It's what she's known for. It's what a Christian should be known for. I didn't have to pat her on the back a whole bunch of times while she was home. I didn't have to worry about whether or not she would get the work done that I gave her. I knew that when I gave Gina something to do, it would be done. It would be done with the attitude of a servant. It's important as a husband, father, and pastor that I function, that I personally function with the attitude of servant. A servant's will is disposable. Are you listening to me tonight? A servant can never be taken advantage of in his own mind because he realizes, I'm just a servant. And so it's a good time to remind ourselves of what is a servant. Matthew 24:46 says this, blessed is that servant whom, the Bible says, his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Christ is coming back, my friend, and when he comes back, he's going to come back and he's going to look upon us as individuals. And will he find us doing? Will he find us serving with the attitude behind it? Serving in the life of the church means that there is a bigger picture than what our eyes may see. And Gina and I have talked. She's going into a larger church. There'll be a lot more things going on in a larger church. And there'll be a lot bigger things going on than maybe the part that she's doing. But servants realize that there's a big picture, and the opportunity to contribute to the big picture in a smaller avenue is very important. I've got to do my part. My church is leaning on me to do my part. And may I say, as they lean on her to do her part over there, we are leaning on you to do your part here. Every servant is leaned upon. Why could Paul be so bold about recommending Phoebe to the church? Because she was first a sister. But she didn't stop there. She was a servant. There's a third word that Paul uses to describe her in verse number 2 of the passage. It says, she hath been a succorer of many. It's not a word that we use very often in our language. It means somebody that stands by in support and is a help. There are some who are succorers of none. They are usually the ones who want everyone to help them. By the way, that's America today. There are some who are succorer of one. Thank God for those. And they are tuned in to helping an individual, and they give a lot of time to that individual, and we thank the Lord for them. There are some that serve their family members and are helpers to their family members, but that's about it. There are some who are succorer of some, and then there are some, and they're rare birds today, that are a succorer of many. That's what the Bible describes Phoebe as. Paul was bold in recommendation because she was a sister, because she was a servant, and because she was a succorer of many. That means she had her eyes out all the time. Who needs some encouragement? Who can I come alongside of and support and stand by them? Who can I help? This was the life that Phoebe was known for. She was known for caring for the affairs of others and aiding them with the resources that she had. Phoebe is a person I call a go-to person. If I wanted somebody to be ministered to, I could go to Phoebe and I could give her the burden, and I know that she would go after it with all of her heart. She was a succorer of many. As a pastor, it's great to have some succorers. It's great to be able to delegate a need and know that someone is going to go about it and get it done and do it right with a heart for that person. I'm asking you as a believer tonight, in your life, I wonder what your life looks like in this area. Are you helping and supporting others? Or is life really more about you than it is about others? I wonder, as we finish up this missions conference, if God has been stirring your pot, stirring your heart, so to speak, about helping others more specifically. It'd be a good time for some to step up and fill Phoebe's shoes. We have a Phoebe leaving Mount Zion. Somebody that's been a servant. Somebody that's a sister. Somebody that's been a helper. And it'd be good for someone to step up and say, I'm going to be a Phoebe. I'm going to learn how to be able to help others. So we see her tonight, her reputation. The last thought is their responsibility. The church's responsibility for a Phoebe. I want you to look at verse number 2. The Bible says that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. There are two responsibilities here. The first one is to receive. The church at Rome had trouble with this. If you study chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, you'll find three different times Paul instructs the church to receive someone. In chapter 14, he instructs the church to receive the weak, and he's dealing with Jewish Christians in that context of that passage. The Gentile believers were having trouble receiving, being warm towards, being gracious, being friendly, looking to receive somebody, looking past their faults to receive them, and he says, receive the weak in chapter 14. In chapter 15, in verse number 7, he says, receive one another. Oh, there's some problems in the church at Rome. They were not doing well with this receiving thing, this biblical truth of receiving one another. And so he says in chapter 15, hey, you've got a responsibility to receive one another. Now in chapter 16, hey, I'm sending a lady from over here, and I'm sending her to your church, and I'm commending her. She's a sister, she's a servant, she's a succorer, but you have a responsibility to receive her. You have a responsibility to take her in unto yourself. I'm certain that Phoebe was different than some of them. I'm certain that she probably had a different personality. and maybe had a personality that might rub others. She may have had different opinions. But regardless of all those things, Paul asked them, and not asked them, told them, receive her. You have a responsibility to receive her. She may not have rubbed everybody right. She was by no means a perfect woman, but she was a sister. And therefore, she was to be treated in a right way. Brethren, we have people come by our church from all different walks of life. Are you listening to me tonight? We have people at times come from other churches. We have people come from poverty-stricken situations. We have people come to Christ who have been involved in gross sin. But you understand that once they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, they become part of our family. And we are to receive them as such, according to the Scriptures. The Bible says, receive her as become a saint. In chapter 15, it says, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Aren't you glad that God didn't look at all your problems and say, sorry, you're not welcome? I'm thankful that God looked at all my problems and looked past them and said, I've died for you and I want you in my family. Amen. Brethren, we need a church that's going to receive brethren and treat them in a godly sort. John wrote to Gaius in 3 John chapter 1 and said, Gaius, you're treating some strangers and some brethren. Hey, treat them after a godly sort. Show them, receive them. Show them there's a warmth within the family of God and as Christians. Show them that there's a forbearance with one another. I wonder tonight if there's a brother you're having a hard time receiving, or a sister, or someone in the church that, well, we just don't agree. Receive her. Receive him. They're your brethren. Look past it. Get over it. Receive your brothers in Christ. Welcome them as your own. Show yourself friendly for the brethren. Look for the outsider. Look for the visitor on Wednesday night that's just starting to attend. Be a friend of them. Young people in the classes downstairs, look for the visitor or the bus child in Sunday school or junior church. Be a friend of them. Learn their names. Receive them. Warm yourself towards them. Phoebe was new and she needed to be received well. As a pastor, I get all stirred up when I see and hear of Mount Zion receiving Phoebes. May we always be a church that has a testimony of that. May we be known as the church that knows how to receive brethren. That's what Paul is writing about. You know the problem is when one doesn't receive. You know what the problem is? According to 3 John verse number 9, there's preeminence in a person. It says of Diotrephes, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And brethren, if you can't receive someone, you better look inside. And you better look at preeminence in your own life. Because Paul brought it out about someone. He said, Gaius, receive him after a godly sort, but Diotrephes could not receive us. There's a problem in the heart if that's the case. Some need to grow in this grace of receiving. Some have a leaning of always being skeptical, always staying to yourself, of being so judgmental to others that you can't see past imperfections to receive a brother. And I'm telling you tonight, the Scripture says their brethren receive them. I am thankful that we can receive brethren from all cultures, from all races, from all languages. I'm grateful tonight that when we send Gina, we are sending her to Christians who I pray will receive her. The second word is the word assist. It means to stand by. I'm grateful that this takes place in all levels of our church. Some stand by others financially. They come to me and learn of financial needs within the fellowship and stand by someone and support them in that way. Others are standing by new folks in our fellowship and friendship. Others are standing by those who are returning to the Lord. Others are seeking to assist others. Others are going to the grieving and hurting and sitting with them and crying with them. And we have lots of assistance taking place within the church. Others are sending a birthday card to a missionary child. Have you ever been in a place where no man stood with you? Paul was. Paul said, no man stood with me in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 4. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. It's the same word there that we find in Romans chapter 16. As a pastor, I get upset with how brethren treat brethren. I found the ministry of assisting and standing by a brother is needed to a greater degree than I have ever seen it. I've been on the side where I have needed that, and so have you. And brethren, we ought to remember that. We ought to remember that people stood by us. And we ought to seek to stand by them, according to the Scriptures. Tonight, as we send Gina, we want to assist her. We are here tonight to tell Gina, where's she at? I lost her right here. We're here to say, we're standing by you. We're willing to assist and support where needed. You say, preacher, I'm just plugging into this church. What can I do? My first advice would be to get involved in an outreach ministry, but then I would look to, and I would say this, look for a brother or sister to stand by. Look for somebody to assist. Notice this assistance is without limits. It's in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Tonight, Gina has many needs. There are set-up needs that are financial, that are practical, that we'll try to give to in just a moment. There are needs that we really can't help with, such as adjustment, except through prayer. And so we want to assist her in every way possible. Phoebe's reputation was that she was a sister. She was a servant. She was a succorer. And God said to the church, your responsibility is, number one, receive her. And number two, assist her in whatever area that she has need. Brethren, I believe the message applies to our opportunity with Gina tonight as we send her. But I believe the message applies to us as a church as well.